dogi no get on the young city punch it. And this is the Roman Bajela Kate Chetos. And then Sanjay to Koma Tabasha. And if he chet and the Kobachin, she's a woman. I'm in the end of it, so much on his head on one in the good morning. I'm in the hours.
So we should initially adjust our motivation such that we're going to listen to this profound teaching on the great vehicle with the attitude of the awakening heart, the attitude which seeks perfect, unsurpassable, complete Buddhahood in order to establish all sentient beings equal to space in perfect, complete happiness and bliss. We're discussing the two types of bodhicitta, which will be translated as the ultimate awakening mind and the conventional awakening heart. And of these two, we're now going to take up a discussion of the conventional awakening heart. And with this presentation, there is an overall two divisions. There is the actual explanation of training in the awakening heart and the supplementary explanation. With respect to the teaching on the awakening heart, there is a divided into two parts, which will be the explanation of the stages in training in the mind of the awakening heart. The instructions on the actual training in the awakening heart, the instructions in the actual training of awakening heart, that's the first the first minor division, and the second is the supplementary instruction. The instruction on the actual training in the awakening heart is the explanation which takes up the causes for developing awakening heart. So in the text on the transcendental wisdom entitled Ornament for Clear Realizations, there's the definition of mind generation, which is synonymous with awakening heart, states mind generation, the wish for perfect, complete enlightenment for the sake of others. And so therefore there are two parts to this quality of the awakening heart. There is the part which seeks to the welfare of others, and the part which has as its object enlightenment, complete enlightenment. So there is the aspect of the awakening heart which seeks the welfare of others, and the aspect which observes enlightenment, which seeks enlightenment. ます。So with respect to the awakening heart, there are two strivings. First, there is taking other sentient beings, becoming aware of the fact that they are suffering and developing the compassion which seeks to separate them from their suffering. This combined with the understanding, observing sentient beings who are without happiness, wishing to join them with happiness, that is to say love, and therefore striving to, motivated by love and compassion, striving for the welfare of sentient beings, motivated by love and compassion. This is one aspect of the awakening heart. As a preliminary to the actual development of the love and compassion, which is the necessary causes for the development of the awakening heart, as was explained previously, it's necessary to generate a feeling of pleasant love. That is, viewing all sentient beings as having the appearance of pleasantness or having the affectionate quality, a pleasing quality. They appear pleasing. And this developing the seeing sentient beings as bereft of happiness, those sentient beings bereft of happiness having a pleasing quality are appearing pleasant to one in the development of pleasant love. As was explained previously, with respect to pleasant love, the necessary conditions for which foster this attitude of mind. There were the two traditions, one of which was the tradition of Atisha and Chandrakirti, which involved recognizing all sentient beings as one's mother, remembering their kindness, and developing gratitude or seeking to repay their kindness. And the second tradition was that of Shantideva, in developing equanimity through seeing that the equality of all sentient beings, in that all sentient beings want happiness, do not want suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So either one of these two methods, the method of Atisha or Shantideva, can actually lead to the development of a pleasant love. But there is a difference with respect to the type of the level of intelligence of which type of person would make use of these two methods. It said that those of the most intelligence would make use of equalizing oneself and others by use of the tradition of Shantideva, development, equanimity, seeing that all sentient beings want happiness, that none want to suffer, and in dependence upon this, eventually fostering pleasant love. On the other hand, those of mediocre intelligence would make use of the former tradition of first recognizing all sentient beings as one's mother, remembering their kindness, and developing gratitude, wishing to repay their kindness. In our presentation of thought transformation, we will be mainly making use of the latter of these two methods, that is, the Shantideva's tradition of developing equality of self and others by understanding that all sentient beings want happiness, that none want to suffer. But though we will be mainly making use of the tradition of Shantideva, we will be briefly, because some people can appreciate this particular type of presentation, looking at the seven cause and effect precept, which makes use of the recognizing all sentient beings, etc. In the tradition of Atisha and Chandrakirti, that is the tradition of the seven cause and effect precept, it is stated that we naturally have a pleasant attitude, or we generate a pleasant love toward those we hold close, those we hold dear. We naturally feel this way. They naturally appear to us very pleasant. But we aren't able to generate such an attitude toward our enemies, nor to those who are neutral to us, who we feel indifference to. And this is the difference is because of the quality of their appearance, that the neutral person and the enemy they simply do not appear pleasant to us, and therefore that we do not have a natural feeling of closeness to them. We feel there's some distance. Therefore, in order to develop love and compassion, it's necessary to develop this type of pleasant love, in which all sentient beings appear close to you, especially with respect to enemies and neutral persons. We want to try to develop in the development of love and compassion a feeling of non-differentiation between those who are close, who are presently close, those who are our enemies, and those who are neutral. We're trying to develop a feeling that there's no difference whatsoever between them. They all appear pleasant to us. And in this, in dependence upon this, we can develop pleasant love. So in order to develop a non-differentiated present love, we must begin to develop a sense of closeness, not only to those we naturally feel close to, but to those we now hold as our enemies and those we have neutral feelings toward. So we want to develop a feeling of ultimate closeness to all three, those we naturally now feel close to, our friends, those who our parents, those we hold dear, also extend this to our neutral persons, and then finally to enemies. So we begin to make use of a model of those we naturally hold close to, we feel this ultimate close to. From the point of view of spiritual practice, the ultimate model which we use to base closeness, the feelings of closeness upon, are the relationship between oneself and one's spiritual master. Within the mundane, it is between oneself and one's mother. These are the models of closeness that we make use of. So if we look at our experience in this life, we can understand, we question, who is it amongst all the people who has benefited us most? Who has been the most benefit to us? It is those who benefited us most from the very beginning, from the time we were born up to the present time. If we ask that question, we can see that it was our mother.
So
And if we don't think about it, perhaps we won't, it won't be clear to us. But once we actually begin to reflect on the actual experience within our lives, who is it, in fact, who has been the most benefit to us? Who has helped us the most? From the very beginning of our life, up, you know, the great care that our mother took of us, took for us, up through our life, our very fact of our life depended upon her, our livelihood, everything that we have, it has arisen through her kindness. This, you know, if we're naturally thinking of our relationship in this way, it's almost definite that will generate a feeling of pleasant love toward our mother, that she will appear very pleasant and pleasing to us, and that we use this as a model to begin to direct to all sentient beings, and seeing all sentient beings in this exact same way, having this pleasant love, they appear to us very pleasing, and this is and depends upon this, then we can develop great compassion. You know, if we set aside for the moment those who have entered the spiritual path of the bodhisattvas, the various types of holy beings, if we set them aside, amongst those who have not entered into a spiritual path, the ordinary beings, you know, who has been the most kind to us? Who has benefited us the most? Who has been the greatest use to us in our life? Then it's very definite, it is our mother. From the very beginning, from the moment of our conception, our mother has turned her kindness toward us again and again. Her thoughts have turned toward us again and again. That, you know, even when we were in her womb, when she was pregnant with us, that all the things that she went without, for example, perhaps previous to her pregnancy, she smoked, but realizing that smoking may harm her child, she gives up smoking. Again, perhaps she took some kinds of drugs. Again, she gives up her drugs during her pregnancy. When she eats, she's concerned about what types of food she eats, whether they're spicy, whether they're nourishing. Again and again, in the course of her daily life, even while we're still in her womb, her mind is turning toward our welfare. Pumbaya ni cembung apa aja kalau je ni, tapi kalau So, not only did she care for us while we were in her womb, but even the birth itself is of great concern to her, for our own welfare. She began trying to make all the necessary preparations so that the birth goes well. Looking into what medical preparations might be necessary, looking into even what types of rites or prayers might be beneficial to that the birth go well. Her attention turns towards at that moment, about even at her birth. And then immediately upon our birth, that the great difficulty that that our mother experienced during her pregnancy, and the great pain that she endured in the actual process of giving our birth. But no matter how much pain she may have gone through, she may have experienced at our birth, when we are finally born and she sees us, all that pain is forgotten, and she takes us as if in her hands, as if we were a precious jewel, and holds us close to her breast, and does whatever she can within her ability to comfort us and to promote our well-being at that moment. And while we were unable to take care of ourselves when just a little baby, that she does whatever will make us comfortable. She does whatever that we need. They remove the mucus with their mouth from the baby's nose. And whatever mess the child makes, she doesn't think anything of it. She gladly cleans the child. Her even at night, she can't sleep because her thoughts are constantly turning toward the welfare of her child. And even there's a certain part when we were of our life when we were this small infant. If we were left to our own for even an hour, it's possible that we could die. That every hour, the mother turns her concern toward her child. If we weren't cared for, we would die. That every day she's working for our benefit, trying to give us the best foods, the nicest, softest clothing, always constantly going to trouble, always working for our benefit. You know, we all know this. This is our own experience, that mothers do this for their children. So, you know, our mothers try constantly to humor their child, to make it happier. They talk to their child. And as the child progresses, as the child grows, there's no end to the difficulties they're willing to go through, working for the sake of their child, working for money to supply it with whatever the child needs, with their food, with their clothing. There's no other person in the world who is as kind as our mother. You know, as we grew up, in order that we have her education, for example, that she sent us to school and involved in all the, perhaps it was necessary to pay tuition for the school, but she gladly paid this so that we could have the necessary education. So that person who has been the greatest benefit to us is our mother. This is why, having seen this for ourselves, that we feel this ultimate closeness to our mother. But not only has she been this kind to us in this life, had gone through all the difficulties in caring for us, not only in this life, but in previous lives, she has enacted this same fashion again and again. And not only has our mother of this life treated us in the same caring fashion in previous lives, when we were humans, but there which have been numberless times, but additionally, she has been treated us in the same fashion numberless times when we took numberless rebirths as every type of sentient being. That she has been our mother and treated us with care when we were a dog, when we took rebirth as her puppy, when we took rebirth and when she was our mother and we were a bird. That every sentient being that we've experienced the same kindness from the same mother numberless times. So just this very mother has been our mother countless times. That this process of taking rebirth has been going on since beginningless time. It didn't have a start. It never had a beginning. And in most all of these rebirths, we've had a mother. And therefore, since our rebirths are countless, our mothers are countless. So even amongst the people here, that throughout all our previous lives and the various transmigrations that we've experienced together, but though we don't recognize the fact that we have been each other's mother and child numberless times. Also, also additionally, that the same relationship applies to not only having been each other's mothers numberless times, each of everyone in this room having been our mother, also they've been our father, also they've been our relatives numberless times. So all sentient beings have been our mother in previous lives. There's not one sentient being that we can find who has not been our mother. No. So in this is the way we can begin to cultivate the recognition of all sentient beings as our mother, beginning to recognize the endless cyclic nature of our process of rebirth, and that over this infinite number of rebirths, all sentient beings have in fact been our mother. So all sentient beings have treated us the same, have been as kind as our mother of this life. For example, if someone were to give you $100 this year, and another person were to give you $100 last year, the only difference is in time. The kindness is equal, is exactly the same, the benefit that we derive. Likewise, the kindness of, of our mother of this life. In fact, all sentient beings have treated us with that same kindness. It's just a difference in time. You know, as of at present, we have varying attitudes towards sentient beings. We have aversion for some, attachment for others. Some we like, some we dislike. And what we're trying to develop is a feeling of sameness, an even-minded quality toward all sentient beings. Now, for those who we hold as our enemy, we generate anger. For those who benefit us, we like them. But this way of responding is a great mistake. If in fact we look at those who benefit us in terms of previous lives, then these same people who are benefiting this life have in fact killed us many times in the past. And the same person that we see as our enemy presently in a previous life was our dear mother, who treated us with great kindness and great benefited us a great deal. So we're trying to develop a sense of not holding some close and others distant, a feeling of equanimity, even-mindedness toward all sentient beings. So, Rinpoche is going to tell a story about there were two of Buddha's closest disciples. One was named Sheripu, and the other was Modigliana. And at that time, Sheripu went out for alms round.
Nice.
Huh?